WXRWLP Milwaukee 104.1 FM and RiverWestRadio.com globally. I'm your host, NTSC, and welcome to The Anti, a weekly primer on freedom. The Anti is anti-authoritarian, anti-capitalist, anti-hierarchy, anti-sexist, anti-racist, anti-fascist, and more. If we are against so much, what do we stand for? Well, the ideals of freedom. In this series, we explore what a free society would look like, while recognizing that none of us today are truly free. Having said all that, even though the device on which you're listening right now likely wasn't free, the radio waves to which you're listening are. WXRW does cost money to operate, though. To that end, you can always visit the station at 824 East Center Street, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and purchase a hat, a mug, or a t-shirt, and all proceeds will go directly to supporting the station. Or if you like any of the programming that you're listening to on WXRW, reach out and become an official underwriter. Every little bit helps. Now you can also dial into River West Radio on your smart speaker of choice. Just tell your listening device at home to play WXRW River West Radio. We're on 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. I visited my credit union the other day to deposit a check. It was a Friday, so upon the completion of my transaction, the teller very kindly wished me a happy weekend. I thanked them. And I was about to wish them the same when it dawned on me, as it often does, that they work in retail, technically. So the odds were good they didn't have the weekend off. So I asked, is the weekend a thing that happens for you? To which they laughed and they said, no, not really. But because they work for a financial institution, at least they always got Sunday off, but rarely Saturday. And that's the way that it is for more and more people every year. According to Milwaukee's Bureau of Labor Statistics report from May of 2017, an estimated 65.5% of workers do not work what we would call a traditional work week, with Saturdays and Sundays off. Also, interestingly, this is just kind of a little aside, averaged across all 23 recognized work sectors, a Milwaukeean earns 2.3% less than the average American worker, with the food preparation sector earning 10% less on average, and the arts, design, entertainment, sports, and media sector earning almost 20% less than the national average. In case you hadn't guessed it, we are talking about work and jobs this week. Specifically, some of the finer points of contemporary labor that I find interesting or noteworthy, and possibly how we can move away from our current dangerous mode of work towards a healthier, more beneficial one. This might take multiple shows to deal with appropriately. We'll see how much we can get through today without completely blowing my voice. So, work, labor, jobs. There's a lot to cover. I'll try and be concise and organized. There's a basic concept in our culture that work is good by its nature. I'll jump ahead to my main thesis. Work is not, by its nature, inherently good. Work is not, by its nature, noble or beneficial or honorable. It doesn't build character just by dint of being work. Most work in our modern economy is drudgery. Most work is pointless, unnecessary, and actually damaging to our bodies, our spirits, and also the world we all live on. Most work is actually bad. And I know I'm using a binary good, bad judgment, and I can go on, you know, into how nothing is good, nothing is bad, blah, blah. But before I do that, we really need to talk about work. This is, in my opinion, crucial. It's so deeply ingrained in us that work is a good thing that the word itself is used to mean something does what it is intended to do, what it's supposed to do. You know, this thing works, or that idea works. If something is defective, it doesn't work like we are supposed to work. And it's so devious and unconscious that it slips into our colloquialisms like that, to the extent that we even use slurs to describe people that don't want to work. You know, to be lazy is one of the worst things you can be in our culture. Someone who is lazy is someone who doesn't want to work. And yet we all unconsciously know that work is terrible. And the full phrase that we often use is a quote unquote, a lazy good for nothing. And just, wow. That phrase takes away a human value in just one fell swoop. Because they don't want to work. And we even lump the word work in with the word ethic, as if to say that it is somehow desirous to do a pointless, repetitive, meaningless, fruitless task, and that it's ethical to do so. And I just find that concept to be patently ridiculous. So despite all the propaganda that work is good and hard work is better, we all know the truth, and it lurks in our conscious mind. And we would all love to talk about it freely at our jobs, but we can't. We can kind of hint at it, and we often do. You know it, and I know it. Nobody wants to work. I'm a talkative blabbermouth, so I really like talking to cashiers when I'm checking out at stores. I'll get in line, and it'll be my turn, and I'll ask how they're doing, you know, like everyone else before me and everyone after me has done and will do. And it's all a very rote and painful little obligatory interaction. But I try to see how people are actually doing. You know, I'll make eye contact when I ask how they are, and I'll try and give little hints that, like, don't sugarcoat this. And inevitably the answer, if honestly given, mentions usually how much longer they have to work that day. Like, oh, I get off in a few hours, so it could be worse. Or, well, I'm stuck here till close. And that's always said in a morose, depressed tone of voice, because nobody wants to be trapped there until close. Nobody wants to get up early to open. Nobody wants to work. And that requires context, obviously, as a statement. I can hear in the distance all devil's advocates already saying, I love my job. I love what I do. Well, there's a saying, when you do what you love, it isn't work. Yep, that's 100% true. People that like their jobs, the few and lucky people that wake up every day and look forward to every aspect of what they do, well, guess what? That's not actually what we would call work. That is described more accurately as play. Or, if you want a real term for it, that's what we would call flow. Play is kind of intended for kids. Flow is intended to describe when an adult gets into what we call the zone. Play and flow are actually the opposite of work. And flow can take many, many forms. We'll delve a little deeper into play and flow later. We're stuck here with work. Work, in the forms that it most often takes in our modern society, is terrible. We have all kinds of common phrases and expressions and terms that just speak volumes. Soul-crushing, mindless, mind-numbing, dead-end jobs. What kind of tasks do we really need accomplished in our world? Not in our economy, mind you. The economy is not the world. What kind of jobs do we need accomplished? Not in the capitalist mode of production, as it has evolved over the years to be this fatted, glutted monster of middle managers and parasites. What do we really actually require with regards to work? Well, there are a lot of things that all really need to get done, but the good news is almost all of those things are already largely automated and moving rapidly towards further automation. What most of us do at our jobs are tasks that don't really need to get done. Most of the jobs we find ourselves working don't have any intrinsic need to exist. No intrinsic value. They fill no actual necessary niche. We don't need retail sales associates. We don't need certified public accountants. We don't need managers or CEOs or COOs or CFOs or bankers or tellers or wealth managers or project leads or social media czars or heads of futures architecture or whatever contrived pompous title we have crafted to fill a pointless hole in some convoluted hierarchy. On a weekly basis, I walk into businesses and I see buildings filled with people wasting the precious, finite, fleeting moments of their lives. They gather up and throw away the minutes and the hours of their only life for nothing more than the cruelty of a wage or salary. And let's not forget the real crime here, the real violence of work and jobs. If you don't have one, you die. If you cannot, quote unquote, earn a living, you die. And that phrase, to earn a living, should sicken us to our very cores. The very idea that anyone needs to do anything to earn their right to draw breath is perhaps the highest form of structural violence. There is no paper, no labor, no coin, nor object, nor concept that can earn anyone the right to live. And somewhere in the deep recesses of our collective conscience, we recognize that to be true. So, within the stressed hierarchies of our governments and state, we have cobbled together social systems that are supposed to support and secure people who cannot, quote unquote, earn their right to live. And those systems are continually attacked as entitlements. They are demonized, and always by the super rich, mind you, and they are undermined at every opportunity. And whenever any normal person fights to defend the value and virtue of work, I kind of want to just grab them and look them in the eyes and hug them close and ask what they think they're doing. I want to ask if they are truly that happy in their job. Are they so joyous in their meaningless workaday week that they want to spread that love to everyone? Or is their stance against free healthcare and free food and free housing based instead on some kind of self-hating cruelty? Are they so angry that they hate their life and their jobs so much that they want everyone to hate their lives as much as they do? Does it eat them up inside to look at someone who doesn't have to work? Well, nobody should have to. We are not enemies in this struggle. We are allies against the boss, the manager, the president, and the CEO, and all of their ilk. There is no corporation that is not guilty of subjugating and exploiting its workers to the benefit of the capitalist owner class. It can be no other way. If you're just tuning in, you are listening to WXRW LP Milwaukee, 104.1 FM, or potentially RiverWestRadio.com. You're listening to The Anti, a weekly primer on freedom, and I am your host, NTSC. And this week, we're talking about jobs, and labor, and work, and how you shouldn't have to do it. Certainly not to survive. Let's move into automation. Automation is killing jobs, and it should. We all ought to understand automation to be a good thing. The current system needs all of the drudgery that it can get just to keep people working. The economy to which our society has sadly subscribed requires people to work. It is the only conceivable way within this mode of production to distribute goods and food and housing and education and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, all of that. I can't reiterate that point hard enough. The system needs to maintain the most boring, the most soul-crushing, the most dangerous jobs on purpose just to keep human beings working. And that's horrible. Most, if not all, of the things that nobody wants to do could be automated easily. A lot of those things are already being automated because it's less expensive. And some people are allowing these divisive pundits to make them angry because that's seen as taking away jobs. Jobs, by the way, that are really terrible. And here's the even better part. Really specialized, detailed, incredibly difficult jobs like surgery and very fine manufacturing work are also becoming more and more automated. The repetitive, unhealthy tasks and the super difficult tasks as well are all getting more and more automated. That's so very important to note. So let's return to the concepts of play and flow. Cynics, and also in equal regard, well-meaning liberals, say things like, well, people need something to do when they're talking about work, and more often than not, when they're defending, you know, hard work and a good work ethic. Like, they think a world free of pointless jobs will somehow lead to every human just sitting on their keisters, staring at a wall, while a fine line of saliva threatens to fall off their lip into their lap. Well, I hate to be the bearer of obvious news, but guess what? People like doing things. In a world finally freed from forced labor, under the guise of earning, you know, a right to live, people will still do things. And a lot of those things will be important and beneficial and amazing. And some of those things will be silly and pointless. And some of them will be confusing and weird. And that's all really good, because people will be free to do what they want, to determine the use of their time on their own terms. They will have true free time to be active or inactive or creative or napping. There's a strange fear that a world without forced labor, or more importantly, a world freed from the divisive and falsely equivalent reinforcement system of wages and salaries, you know, will somehow be a world devoid of scientists and doctors and farmers and all of those jobs that we really, really need. We will never lose scientists. We will never lose doctors. We will never lose sports or the arts or any of that, because people are enriched and rewarded personally and impassioned by doing all of those things. And in point of fact, the removal of the wage and salary reward is the removal of the most unnatural barrier for most people to all of those pursuits. The incentive of currency is not the only reason people go into math or science or medicine. It is perhaps the worst, most false reason people go into those pursuits. And I'd hazard to say, in a capitalist mode of production, we inherently reward the most selfish, competitive instincts in people interested in the beneficial fields of medicine and science and math and agriculture, when we ought to be reinforcing the most cooperative, communal instincts instead. When the members of a society are no longer forced with threat of starvation or exposure, when money is no longer the only goal, when we are allowed to learn and do what we want just because we want to do it, we will improve at everything we do because we are simply passionate about it. And we're helping each other. and when there is no longer the unnatural barrier of competition and economic growth to stunt our shared potential. Imagine using your life in the way you want. Imagine no longer dreading Monday or Saturday or whatever day you have to haul yourself out of bed and get ready to waste an entire day of your fleeting existence. Work sucks. Play and flow don't. And I feel personally, the sooner we all really internalize that, and the sooner we all stop being, you know, ashamed or embarrassed or kowtowed to not say that, to freely say, work sucks. I don't like doing this. And moreover, I know for a fact this serves no greater purpose to humanity. When we can all stand up and proudly say, work sucks. I don't want to do this anymore. I shouldn't have to do this anymore. I should never have been forced against my will to do this in the first place. There is no voluntary exchange that would force me to do this if I didn't have to fight to survive. When we can say that unequivocally, I really feel like we will be taking a very important step in a very right direction. Thank you so much for tuning into The Anti here on WXRW River West Radio. I have been your host, NTSC, and I'll be back again next week, hopefully with a voice, to discuss further topics as they relate to freedom and our awesome shared potential. Past episodes can be found at creamcitymedia.com/anti, and more information about the show can be found on riverwestradio.com. In the interim, till I see you next, don't be afraid to tell people work sucks. Don't be afraid to stand up and say, I shouldn't have to do this. And you know what? You shouldn't either. Take care. Thank you.